Amen. Boy, that was good. Amen. I don't think y'all don't look like winners much this morning. Amen. I'm going to be hard on you. Amen. Those people, when they win, they get excited. Amen. Whoopee! We lost. No, amen. I won. Amen. And I'm a winner this morning, not because of anything I did. Amen. Every time I got up to the plate, I struck out. But more when the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross. Amen. He hit it out of the park. Amen. We have victory because of the Lord this morning. I appreciate that beautiful, beautiful song this morning. Take your Bibles this morning with us to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, which I hope you do, there should be one there in your pew. We sure want to encourage you to follow along with us this morning. Today is what's on the calendar called Easter Sunday. And I know it's always a great time of around the church house. It's always a time of, seems like families come together a little bit, maybe. And maybe you've got a special afternoon. And we want to try to get this to you as quick as we can. We're not going to rush through, though. But I hope this morning you'll listen. I hope you'll come with an open heart this morning. My son, I love him to death. I really do. But one of the things, when I get to talking to him now, he's a grown man now, but I still talk to him like he's not, because to me, he's still my little boy. But I'll say something to him, and he'll say this: "I know, Daddy." A lot of times I feel like I preach to a lot of people that says, "I know, preacher." But just knowing don't help us. We need some doing, amen? And I hope today you'll be a doer of the word, not just a knower. And that's our desire. Now, I appreciate you folks that are visiting with us today. I really do. It's good, always good to have some fresh faces. But I can't preach today until I get this off my soul and my heart. You that are here, you've dealt with me for going on 14 years now, and you've heard this a lot over the years, but I have to say it again as we come to a day like today. I know that many of you are saying Happy Easter, and the calendar says Easter, but I wonder, and I don't want you to raise your hand this morning, how many of you would, just in your mind and your heart right now, truly, do you understand what that word means? Now, the most people, they try to tie it to the resurrection, but Easter has nothing to do with the resurrection. Well, preacher, why do we say it's Easter Sunday? Well, no, today is Resurrection Day for us that believe. Now, listen, I done cramped some of you. Just stay with me. Have you ever wondered why that around this time of year, of this calendar day that they call Easter, why there's the push on bunny rabbits? You ever wondered that? Now, the Bible does talk about some rabbits, but it's not talking about the Easter bunny. Have you ever? No, I'm trying to listen. We're a Bible-believing church, amen? And we try our best to teach the Bible around here. Is the word Easter in the Bible? Yes, it is, one time. Acts chapter 12, verse number 4 is the only place you'll find that word Easter. And it has nothing to do with what we're celebrating today. You ever wondered again why there's eggs? Yeah. I've been alive for almost 50 years now. I've hunted a lot of rabbits over the years. And I have never jumped a rabbit out of its nest when there was eggs there. Right. Now, if you've got a rabbit that lays eggs, I want a picture and I want to come see it. But I've never seen a rabbit lay eggs, have you? I wonder then why, on what we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday, why the world is saying Happy Easter. I'm trying to get you to think. I don't have time to teach this. I've taught it and preached it many times over the years. Easter, now listen, I know this is going to get you a minute. Easter is a pagan holiday. It is. I'm not making this up. You go study. Easter is a pagan holiday. It is a holiday that the pagans celebrating a time of a false god by the name of Estre, or Eostre, which is the goddess of fertility. Wonder why they have eggs and wonder why they have rabbits. It's about fertility. That's what this pagan holiday has to do with that. But let me draw us back to where we are today. There was a day, Luke chapter 24. Yes, sir. 3 days after our Savior went to the cross. I told him this morning, in the opening this morning, I should look the man's name up. There's a black preacher, man. I love to listen to this sermon. And if y'all, one of y'all scholars remember his name right off your top, let me know. But he preached the message, "It's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming." Amen? Amen. I was reading, studying a lot this week, and you know how us parents are? You tell your kids, one. I'm not going to tell you again, two. I got to thinking, you know, that's what was happening in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ died, and they started counting. One, two, here comes three. That's what I'm here today to try to tell you. He is alive, as we've heard already. Because He lives, amen. We're winners, as we just heard. So I just want to encourage you again to know truth. That's our desire. Again, listen, she'll tell you, I'll eat a chocolate bunny rabbit any day. It don't have to be on Easter. I ain't scared of him. He's good. I like him chocolate bunnies. But I'm here this morning telling you about a Jesus, the Son of God, that loved you and I so much that He was willing to die. Why did He die? That I can live.
Amen.
Ain't no bunny rabbit ever done that for me.
No.
Only Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Everybody good?
Yes.
If you got questions, come see me afterwards. And I'll try my best to point you in the right direction. And listen, we need to study. I used to tell my boss man when I worked at Freightliner years ago, you know, do you know they built this machine? It's called the Google machine. You put something in the Google machine and it spits out stuff to you. Do you ever wonder where that stuff comes from? Any monkey can type something and be on the Google machine. Just don't take everybody's word for what they say. Why do I believe you, preacher? I'm going to tell you what thus saith the Scriptures. I ain't going to tell you what Google machine said. I'm going to tell you what God said. And so, amen. Everybody all right? Ain't God good? Amen. All right. Let's go to the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's stand, stretch your legs out of honor and reverence the Word of God most of all this morning if you can. Thank God for this book this morning. How in the world would we know if God hadn't given us this book this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read together. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." That's a pretty important thing, isn't it? "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Isn't God amazing? He didn't say, because Bob said He got up out of the ground, or Mary said He got up out of the ground. He says, because the Scriptures say He got up out of the ground. Amen. Verse 5. "And that He was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." This is Paul giving his heart out. Verse 10, "But by the grace of God,"
yes.
Paul says it's only that, "but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether if it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed." Verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" That's a great question. You know, I got this thing on my phone. It's called Flip something or other. I can't remember what it's really called. What it does is it gives you pretty much all the real quick news blips of what's going on day by day, second by second, whatever, you know. And on that thing, it's amazed me this week how many articles I've seen come across that that was trying to disprove what I'm preaching this morning. The world in all their finest is trying to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is a myth. They're trying to say he was just a man, maybe. They're trying to say that he didn't rise from the grave. Hey, but my Bible that God gave me, that God breathed out of his mouth, as Paul is declaring unto you, that God hath raised himself from the grave. Now, verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That's a great question. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? If Christ didn't get out of the ground, friend, shut the doors, turn off the lights, sell the place, and let's go home. So that's true. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Why? Because you'd be believing in a dead God. Sort of like Muhammad. Hello. Yeah. Sort of like Buddha. Uh-huh. They're dead. In the ground. Rotted. Bug food. But Jesus didn't. And if Christ, verse 14, be not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead not rise not. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now listen, I know time's quickly getting away from me. But I'm telling you this morning the importance of what Christ did on that cross. We saw the greatest story that's ever been told in the short few verses. He says, I declare unto you the gospel. That gospel is the good news. What is that gospel? He says that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That he was buried. And on the third day he arose. That's the good news. And if Christ, verse 17, be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins, then they all which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Without Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, there would be no hope for you and anybody else that's died. Verse 19, in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. And become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die. It's appointed unto men once to die. Because of Adam, sin has passed into this world, death by sin. The Bible says, therefore, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at the coming. Verse 24, then cometh the end when he shall be have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Sure thank you, Lord, for this good word this morning, God. Thank you for truth. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of knowing today, God, that you're alive and ever liveth for us. Lord, I pray today, God, if there be somebody here in our midst today that's dead, God, that's never come to a place of life, Lord, I pray, God, today would be that great and wonderful day that they would believe this true gospel story this morning of what you've done for them and done for the world. And God, today would be a day they'd be born again, have life everlasting, Lord. And God, we're so thankful for what you've done. For us in Christ's name we pray and do ask. Amen. You be seated this morning. And again this morning, this is one of the most important things that can ever be put into the ears of mankind. I text many preachers this morning that I have on my phone, try to encourage them to, as they stand today, as they do every Sunday, but today, as we stand today and claim the truth that Jesus lives. Hey, I read this morning in Luke chapter 24, I've already mentioned it, how that day, on that special day, that the Lord was in that tomb, and we know that the women got up early that morning, and they came to that place where they knew that he died, and they buried him, and they knew that that's where they put his body. But that day, they come there, and the stone was rolled away. They go in there, and they hear the greatest news that's ever been given to man. Hey, that this man, Jesus, is not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Hey, I'm again glad, and you're going to hear it many times. I serve a living Savior this morning. He's alive and well, and it's the right hand of the Father. Hey, friend, this morning, You've got hope this morning because of what we just read here today. So we find here again in chapter 15, God gives us this great news here in verse number 3. And I want you this morning to think just a minute with me this morning. I don't think many times we realize all that took place in this short little period of time. Everything that God had laid out from the beginning of time come to a place, to a head on this day when the Lord Jesus Christ come up out of that ground. Hey, He tells us once again there in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you." Hey, friend, today I'm telling you, we've got something to declare. We got something to say. This is a fact, Jack. Hey, this is what God did. Amen. He says, "I declare unto you what? The gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." I want to tell you this morning, church, there's many a church that went away from this truth. There's many that used to say, "I stand upon the gospels," but today they've swayed to the left or to the right. But friend, today I want to declare unto you, hey, there's something glorious to be told. There's a story that never grows old, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day, He arose again. That's the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ declares unto you. Now I want you to think just for a moment. We don't have time to go read all of this. I'm going to try to draw it to your mind. You think about all that took place. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth willingly, born of a virgin there in that manger, lived that 33 and about half years upon this earth as a sinless Lamb of God. John the Baptist saw Him coming that day and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Hey, He became here to die, friend. He came here as that spotless, sinless Lamb that would be slain for our sins. Why? Because sin has a payment that has to be paid. For the wages of sin is what? Death. That's the first part of what took place. Something had to die. The Old Testament, we see that law where God gave them something. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve was in that garden, we know that Eve took of that apple or that fruit, and how Adam willfully took of that and eat. And because that sin and death has entered into mankind and it's passed down to every man, and that's the reason we're here today in the state that we're in. We know that they hid themselves in that garden that day because they heard the Lord Jesus Christ walking in the garden. And Jesus knew where they was at, but Jesus cried out unto them and said, "Where you at, Adam? Where you at? I want to talk to you." And we know Adam stood there. They had made themselves garments because once they took of that forbidden fruit, once they eat what God told them not to eat, their eyes were open to what was there. They saw themselves naked and were ashamed. They took those fig leaves and things and began to try to cover up their nakedness. Why? Because they were naked before God. Friend, this morning you can try to hide everything you've got in your life. You might try to put it in a drawer. You might try to put it in a closet. You might hide it in your computer, whatever it might be. But friend, today we all stand naked before God. Hey, there's nothing that we physically can cover ourselves in that will hide or take away that ugliness of what sin really is. Now, I know this morning nobody likes to be called a sinner. Everybody wants to wear their little halos and say, "Look at how good I am." But friend, I want to tell you this morning, we're all just old, rotten, dirty, nasty, ugly sinners. Oh, but God said, "I love you anyway. Hey, I want to help you anyway." And that day in that garden, He found Adam and Eve standing there in their self-righteousness. They had their Sunday school badges. They had their perfect attendance awards. They had their baptismal certificate. And God looked at every bit of it and said, "None of that'll do." And that day, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that He killed something. I believe it was a lamb. And He slayed that animal. It took blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remissions of sin. And Christ, that day in the garden, in the very beginning, set forth something that was going to come down the pike thousands of years later, as He would hang there between the heavens and the earth, that perfect Lamb, and would be shed and give His blood that would cover and wash away my sins. So we find here the Bible tells us that He's declaring unto us this wonderful gospel. The fact of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Thank God for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look quickly, I'm running out of time, but look with me this morning over in the book of Isaiah. Look with me in Isaiah this morning. I want you to see it, Isaiah this morning. Isaiah chapter 53. This is what the Lord did for you. This is what God did for me. Hey, that's the reason today we ought to be excited what God has done. Hey, there ought to be something in our hearts that bubbles up. Hey, there ought to be something that just gleams out of our face. Hey, you remember that day? Hey, that Moses come down off the mountain. He'd been with God, amen. And the Bible says he come down off the mountain and his face shone so bright. Hey, church, this morning, where's our shine? Hey, church, this morning, where's our glow? Hey, church, this morning, have we hid it behind a veil? Hey, this morning, let God take it away this morning. Let the world see that we're not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Hey, this morning, there ought to be something that shines upon our lives. There ought to be something that people see that makes us different, amen. Hey, I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to act like the world. Hey, I'm not of the world. I've been bought. I've been purchased with a price. What was that price? Do you realize what we're celebrating? Hey, do you realize everything that Christ did on His walk to Calvary was for you? He had to pay a price that He did not owe, but He willingly took our place and paid our price that we could have freedom and life. There is now no more condemnation. Why? Because Christ took it for us. Oh, I know this morning, us religious people, we've seen the pictures of Christ hanging on a cross. Hey, we've heard the stories about how He died. Hey, we've seen the pictures of a stone rolled away. Hey, we've got all that in our minds. But do you really understand why He did that? Do you really understand what the purpose of all that was? I'm afraid many times we've lost sight of it. Why? Because of Easter bunnies and Santa Clauses and all those other things that have mixed upon our churches. Hey, friend, today without Christ, as we've heard, there would be no hope. So this morning, child of God, do you understand the gospel? Oh yes, preacher, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. But what does that mean? Let's see what about that death. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? Not many. Very few. Why? It's a narrow way. People don't want to paint the ugliness of what we're getting ready to see. Oh, I've seen the pictures. I've seen the crown of... that great tragedy they call it over in Paris, the cathedral there burning down. Do you see those religious people? We have the crown of thorns. No, you don't. We have a piece of wood from the cross. You might have a piece of wood from a cross, but it wasn't the thorns. It really wasn't the cross. Many have died upon a cross. But it's that blood. What about that blood? Oh, it was sinless blood. Not just anybody could die on that cross. There had to be a special something that died on that cross. Let's see Him. Why did He do it? How come it had to happen? For the wages of sin is death. Something had to die. See that law that I mentioned before, and we've heard it even in here, as God introduced this system of covering. As He covered Adam and Eve that day in that flesh of an animal. And all throughout the Old Testament we see that law being laid out of how they would sacrifice those animals every year for their sins and a covering of sin. Thank God Hebrews tells us there's something better. Hey, there's one that came and died one time. He'll never die again. Why? Because that blood there, yes, it took away my sins. It covered it. But friend, let me tell you, it did more than covering. It washed hatred from my neck of the woods. It's washed. Hey, it took away my sins. Amen. The gospel, the good news. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. There's his birth. As a root out of a dry ground, he came out of heaven into a earthly being. As we find in John, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. See, it's not a beautiful thing that we're seeing with the eyes of man. See, we try to decorate it. As I always say, you can put lipstick on a pig, but you still got a pig. Religion and the world try to make it look so pretty. What I see is nothing pretty. Why? Because he took on the sin of the world. Every sin. All sin. My sin. Your sin. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men. Boy, today people don't want you to talk about Christ. Today, and I don't mean to say this to hurt us, but friend, we need to get our heads out of the sand. We're not popular. We're becoming the problem instead of the answer to our country and our world. They would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. He's despised and rejected of men. He came into his own, and his own received him not, the Bible tells us. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. See, the gospel, the good news this morning is, first of all, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know how he was betrayed there in the garden. We know how he was brought there before the leadership that day and how they condemned him to die. They said, crucify him, crucify him. We know how they took the Lord Jesus Christ. They stretched him out there upon that rag. They took that whip there, that cat of nine tails. They began to smack his back, smack his back, smack his back. He was ripped open from front to back. That whip is made of leather and glass and metal objects that just when they hit, it would rip his body apart. They laughed at him. They mocked at him. They shoved that crown of thorns upon his head, making mockery of him being a king. They slapped him. They spit upon him. Why? For me. For you. He was willing to die. See, that's the good news. Why? Something had to die. And Christ said, I'll go. I'll pay that debt. And he came and died that we might live. Look over in Romans chapter 1 real quickly. What about this death? What makes this special? What makes this different? Look at Romans chapter 1. We see, I believe, the power and the deity of who died. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. See, this morning, I see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see how he died for my sins. I see how they buried him. But praise God, he arose in power and in holiness and in the Spirit of God. And because of that, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. See, death, we're all familiar with death. Again, Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto all men to die. Death. Many die. I don't know what the world's clock is up to now. It used to be so many every second. I don't remember what it is. I'm sure it's just as crazy as it's always been. While we've sat here for the last hour, many people have died. They've taken their last breath in death. When I lived in Taylorsville, when I pastored up there, you might remember seeing it on the news. It was a young boy got killed, and I know death's tough. I've been around death more than I ever want to care to be around death. As a young boy got killed up in Hidnight's area up that way. And those people, they were getting ready to get the law, and maybe the law did get involved. That boy died. And they paraded that boy's body around all over town for days upon days, believing he was going to come back alive. Death's tough. I've been there. I've watched those last breaths of loved ones. I've held the hands of people as they took their last breath, and death seemed to conquer tragedy, hurt, pain. All die. Jesus Christ died. What makes him different? Probably one of the strongest men that we've ever seen in the Word of God was by a man by the name of Samson. Samson had that just godly strength. And we see that story, and even in his strength, death conquered him. Solomon, probably one of the most, let me back up, Solomon is the wisest man that's ever lived. Solomon died. Strength, wisdom. Solomon again. One of the richest men that's ever been on this earth. Physical. Guess what? His riches couldn't overcome death. What are you saying, preacher? See, this morning, death is real. Death is a reality. And one of the things about the gospel is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not just there. They buried him. See, he took our payment on that cross. He suffered for the sins of the world. He died. They took his body down and laid it in that tomb. They rolled the stone away. Death seemed to have conquered. But see, the hope that we have this morning, and I've got to cut all this short, but the hope and the wonders of what we've got this morning is in the fact that on the third day, death was conquered. And Christ arose and ever liveth for us. So I see here this morning this great gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here, the death, the burial, the resurrection, which we're celebrating today, the resurrection morning. I can't help but think, I don't remember his name. You might remember it. He wrote a song. His little girl died. Said they went through all the process of death, you know. The little girl died. I don't remember why she died or how she died, but she died. They went through all the services. They went through the funeral home. They went through the funeral service. They went out to the graveside. They put that casket in the ground, and there's a daddy that lost a little baby girl. And after all the crowd had left and after everybody was gone, there stood a daddy out there at the feet of a grave. Death. And God put something down in the depths of his soul when he wrote that song, Resurrection Ground. Realizing the truth of what I'm trying to show us this morning, because Christ went to the cross and died and was buried, that burial showing what he did. You realize, people, I remember preaching this at Gospel or at Mount Hebron, and I had some of the weirdest looks. They even had one woman, she just thought, that's stupid. Do you realize why he was buried? Well, because he died. No, he had to pay everything that I had to pay. He had to go through that suffering. He had to go through that death. But then he had to be buried and death and corruption. And he went into the inner parts of the world, the Bible says, and he led captive. Hey, he set them free. He went to hell for me. That's the reason he's got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He overcame them. As Owen's son, we're winners because of that. So he see this gospel that is declared unto us, the good news of his death, his burial. But praise God for the resurrection. Real quickly this morning, look back over in 1 Corinthians. I want you to see all the negatives that God shows us here. I'm just about done, I promise. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look with me in verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. And we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they that also which are fallen asleep is Christ, in Christ are perished. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are all men most miserable. See how God shows us, if it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ, see all the negative? He said that we'd still be in our sins. He said there'd be no forgiveness. He said the dead would perish. He said there'd be eternal turmoil. There'd be no joy. There'd be no reason to live if Christ did not rise. But hallelujah for verse number 20. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen. I'm glad I can say amen. Christ is risen. Amen. He'll never die again. He'll never suffer again. Hey, he's coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back with authority and power. He's coming back to put things in order. Hey, friend, this morning, do you believe the gospel? Do you understand that he died for you? He was buried for you, and he lives for you. We'd have no life without him. He's alive. And that's what they said that day in Luke chapter 24. They came back, said, he's alive, he's alive. And I say the same thing this morning. He's alive. Amen. And the Bible says, because he lives, I live. Amen. Do you know him this morning? I got one more verse I'm going to show you, and then I'm done. Look in Romans chapter 8. So many verses I want to share. This time gets away. You got the book, you can go study it. It's all in here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you're in him this morning, there's no condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it can't today, couldn't then, it never will. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The importance of what Christ did on the cross. The importance of what Christ did in the grave. The importance of what Christ did in resurrecting. Verse 11, we're closing. There's a little word there that says, but. That's my question this morning. But if the Spirit of him, Spirit of who? The one that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. You know what my hope is this morning? My hope's not in this flesh, because this flesh can never conquer death. My hope's definitely not in the doctors and nurses of our day. A lot of our doctors today got Fruit Loops. I don't put no hope in them. Thank God for them, though. I really do. They do try to help some of them. But they can't conquer death.
No.
But the Bible says here, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. This morning, do you have that spirit? Oh, there's many spirits. But there's only one spirit that ever conquered death. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Do you know him this morning? Oh, I'm celebrating, not an Easter bunny, not an Easter basket, not a colored egg. But my heart rejoices because I know he lives.
Okay.
And I know because he lives and because I've trusted him, I live in him. Do you know him this morning? What are you trusting to go to heaven? If you're trusting in baptism, I'd be checking up. Well, preacher, don't we need to get baptized after you're saved? Well, preacher, I went through a class. There's no class going to get you there. The Bible says, and again, I know it's not popular, but it's true. The Bible says it's a narrow way. There'll be few that find it. I'm glad I'm part of the few. Oh, you just think you're special. No, he died for the sins of the world. But as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, they rejected him. And many reject him today. Oh, they'll trust in their baptism. They'll trust in their prayer. They'll trust in something that they did. But see, this morning, it's not what I did, but it's what he did.
Right.
Only he could die for my sins. Only he could pay for my sins through that death and burial. And only I can live this morning because he lives. And he's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Do you know him this morning? Let's stand together. Thank God for Resurrection Day. Oh, there's another resurrection coming. There's a great harvest day going to be. I hope you're ready.